Exodus. We're going to be in the book of Exodus tonight. Exodus chapter 14. I texted my son earlier because, you know, he's out driving now, so I want to make sure he's okay. And sometimes he does pretty good for communicating. Sometimes he goes a while and doesn't. So I'm like, okay, he's really okay. So he says he's coming home now. So I was going to wring his neck when I get home. But just want to make sure everything's cool, being a new driver and all. Look at your neighbor. And if you don't have a neighbor, then you will one day. Hopefully. Look at him and say, dare to believe. You know, believing, of course, is faith. Yes, don't forget Jeremy in the corner. Dare to believe. Faith is the strongest thing we have in the earth. Faith. And faith is not measured or should not be measured by the storm in front of us. Faith should always be measured by the God that's in us. And so we're going to talk about what happened in Exodus. It's a very familiar story to some of us. All of us have probably heard this story of the children of Israel between Pharaoh's army, between the Red Sea. It looked bad. It looked impossible. It looked like they were trapped. But God had a plan. And God is, I think, telling us, just believe me. Just trust me. You don't always have to see the end result. You just have to know I'm in your result. You don't always have to see the finish line. Just know I'm going to get you to the finish line. The Bible says that he's going to finish what he started in us. And so we have to trust that. Storms come. We don't like storms in our lives. We hate being those storms. You know, those storms bring fear, discouragement, depression. We're overwhelmed sometimes by those storms. And sometimes it's like, I know we all think this. You may not say it, but you all think it. You're like, God, you're killing me. It's like one after the other. Are you kidding me? One wave after the other. How strong do you think I am? Well, you're not very strong, but I'm really strong. And I'm in you. And I'm going to make sure you're okay. Just trust me. But we got to dare to believe God. And not believe God based on when we see him moving. Not just believing in God when things are going right in our way. But believing God in those trenches. When we don't see his face. When we don't hear his voice. When the wind's blowing so hard we're trying to hang on like a hurricane. And we're like, God, are you still there? Of course he's there. That's the very time we believe him and say, God, I trust you. I don't like this, but I do trust you. Just like the disciple on the boat. Jesus got in the boat, said, let's go to the other side. He's down there sleeping. Storm comes. Waves beating the ship, you know, the wind's blowing, all this stuff's happening. They begin to panic. They wake him up. Master, master, don't you feel what's going on? Yeah. So? Do you not care that we die? You're not going to die. Because the everlasting life is on the boat with you. You're not going to die because I'm here. And I've already spoken the word that we're going to go to the other side. And see, my word can't be changed or altered. My word is my word. That's why this word is so powerful in our lives to realize this is God's word to us. And God's, one thing God can't break, church, I'm going to tell you, is his promise. That's his word. He's the king. And he said in this word, many things to our lives, if we'll just embrace them and believe they're for us and trust them. Didn't say it's going to be an easy way. Didn't say everything's going to go perfect, but he will get us through. This is a story of the children of Israel. As you know, the 10 plagues have already happened. They're on their way out. They're making their exodus out of Egypt. And we'll pick up here with verse 13 in chapter 14. Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. See, the devil operates in fear. Fear is the opposite of faith. And fear can cancel out our faith if we're not careful. We can be all strong, then a storm comes, and then all we see is the storm, and then all we have is the fear. Where did our faith go before the storm? If God can keep us without a storm, God can keep us with a storm. You know, the same God that makes that beautiful sunshine where it's 90 degrees and the puffy white clouds and it's the perfect beach day, so to speak. The same God that made that day is the same God that makes the thunder roll and the lightning strike. It's the same God that when the dark clouds fill the sky and you hear that deep rumble that shakes your china out of your cabinet, and your dogs and cats start shaking and all that stuff and hibernating. Same God did that. It's the same God that makes a sunny day. If God can keep us in peacetime, so to speak, why don't we think he can keep us in wartime? He can. He's the same God. He's not changed. What happens, we begin to get our eyes off of him and on what's in front of us and say, and let it consume us. And I'm with you, church. I'll tell you, I'm with you. I've been there. I've been in those places of desperation and fear and panic and anxiety and worry and stress. I've been in those trenches. I've been in those places where I'm like, God, where are you at? I'm here. Just trust me. Just, it's like when you raise your kids. Hardest job in the world, being a parent. You raise your kids. You teach them right from wrong. You do the best you can. And you know what? You don't see that result for many years. You don't see that result. It takes them getting adulthood, out of the house most time, to kind of gauge, okay, here's where they're at. Whew. It's cool. We did all right. Not too bad. Fist bump Melly. We good. But during that time, you're like, what am I doing wrong? During that time, you're like, they're sassy. I'm not talking about my kids. My kids are great and perfect. They're sassy. Talking about your youngins. They're sassy. They're smart mouth. They're rebellious. They lie sometimes. They roll their eyes. They, you know, don't put forth effort here or don't clean their room. And they don't seem to, they're going through life like a candy land. Oh, and no responsibility. And, you know, and you raise your kids, you're like, are they going to be okay? Because I'm a little worried right now. It ain't looking good. You know what I'm saying? It just ain't looking real good. And so you stress and you worry. But we got to trust as parents that, you know what? God's helping us through that. All of it's a process. We all went through it. You know, we didn't all, at 10 years old, we didn't act like Joe Brown. We weren't this adult, dignified, got-together, wise man. Joe Brown was one time 14, 15, 16. And acted like a 14, 15, 16-year-old. And he got through that. So we have to trust God that in our storm, he's with us. He's getting us through it. So Moses saying, look, fear not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Just watch for it. Because you're going to see a show right now because my God's going to show up. So just stand still and watch the show. Just stand still. Which he will accomplish for you today. He's going to accomplish this for you today. For the, I love this. I mean, you're talking about for the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. I mean, that's pretty radical. I mean, really think about that statement. Here's Moses. Fear not, stand still, and watch the salvation of the Lord. He will accomplish for you today what you need to be accomplished. These Egyptians you see, don't worry about it. Because in a few minutes, the sundial says 2 o'clock. In a few minutes, they're going to be gone. And you're going to see them no more because God's going to show up. Because Moses believed that God had an exit plan. He didn't put all those 10 plagues. He didn't deliver them all that. And then have Pharaoh deliver him and all the Hebrew children. And then take all that gold and stuff with them to let them die in the middle of their travel. God's plan's complete. God's plan's final. God has an end result that's good for us. We got to trust that. We don't always see it. We got to trust it. You know, there's things me and Melika share of our personal lives where we sing firsthand. We wanted something so bad and we thought, Lord, you know, we really want this. And, you know, we want it to be your will. But, you know, our will, I hope, is your will. So let's give it to me. You know what I'm saying? And then we find out God didn't give it to us. And we're questioning at times, well, why? Why didn't that door open for us? I don't understand that. And then we see, wow, that's why. God was protecting us from our own destruction or our own mistakes or our own, you know, indecision. So God's with us. Next verse. The Lord will fight for you. You shall hold your peace. We know that we don't get anywhere fighting somebody back. What's the old saying, you draw more bees with honey than with vinegar? Isn't that the truth? You know, that if you go out to eat somewhere or you know, you're somewhere public and you're sweet to somebody and you're nice to them and you're respectful to them, that'll get you much farther than than being ill and ugly and nasty to them. Because you know what? They'll get ill, ugly, and nasty back. Especially when it's, well, I was going to say it's two guys, but two women too. Women can, they can go after it too, that's for sure. But you know, the old men, you know, get that old male thing going, you know. You think you, what you look at me for? Me look at me like I look at you back. You want to step outside? Step outside. And then when you're out there, you're going, what in the heck have I just done? Because I'm scared. But I had to be a man in there. But now I'm not a man no more. You know, and you're like, what have I done? I should have just been respectful. God's saying, I'm fighting for you. Just hold your peace. Look, I brought you out of Egypt. I kept you from 10 plagues. I set you free from 400 years of slavery. Okay, I'm going to give you your own land. Just trust me. Let me do my thing. Let me be God. And you just be my followers. Let me fight for you. If we could ever learn to let God fight for us. And he does if we allow him to. But we get in the way and we mess it all up. Trying to get God's plan to fit into our plan. To just really say, and if we really pray this prayer, God, your will be done. We better be ready to accept that result. We better be ready to really accept it. God, your will be done, and I really mean that. Because God's will for our lives, I promise you, God's will for your life is a much better will than your own desires is, because God has your best interest at hand, always, because you're his child. Just like your own children, they want stuff. You say, no, why? You're not going to get it. Well, why? And you know, they don't understand that. You don't. You know, you're against me. You don't want to give it to me or whatever. No, there's reasons why I'm saying no on this. Reasons you don't understand or know, but it's for your best interest. I say no. Trust me. And they hate that statement, don't they? But you're looking out for their best interest. So you say, just trust mama. Just trust daddy. We're doing it because we love you. We're saying no because we love you. We're correcting you because we love you. We're punishing you because we love you. You don't sound much like love, does it? I got a lot of love growing up. Did y'all get some love growing up? I mean, you don't sound like love at the time. But my Lord, what if there was none of that loving? And that's what's happened to a lot of our generation. That loving, so to speak, has stopped. And so we got people running amok and wild and no restraint and no moral compass and no direction, no manners. I mean, just out wild because nobody's loved them the right way. See, God loves us. And even God's correction in our lives is a type of his love for us when he corrects us. Because he doesn't want us going down that path. He knows what's waiting at the end for us. It's kind of like Snow White, right, in the apple. Shiny red apple. Just take a bite. It's so fresh and red and juicy. Don't you want to take a bite? Just one little bite. And she takes the bite. Then she's poisoned. If we would recognize and learn to understand, God does have our best interest. Let him fight for us, and we just hold our own peace. Verse 15, the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. I didn't put a sign up that said dead end. Do you see a sign that says no outlet? Cul-de-sac? One way? Turn around? Go back? No, there's no sign that says that. You tell them to keep going forward. Don't you think I prepared the way to get them to where I told them I was going to take them? I mean, why would I tell them you're going to have this land and not get you there? Was I lying? Was I fooling you? Was it one of these, psych? Y'all remember that? I know Roddy remembers that back in the day, the psych sign. Anybody else remember that when you did the psych? Remember that? That was pretty cool. We go to school and say, hey, look at my watch. Oh, psych. No watch there. Just a stupid game we did. But you think God ain't going to psych them out? He's saying, look, go forward. But how can I go forward? Lord, just in case you didn't notice, now, God, I'm not trying to be disrespectful to you, but Jehovah Jireh, can you kind of look to your right? What do you see, Lord? Because I see a big old body of water. And you're telling us to go forward, and I didn't go to the Y and get my swimming certificate, so I'm in trouble. I mean, how am I going to go forward when there's this big body of water blocking me? But God had a plan. Oh, what a plan it was. A body of water ain't going to stop God's plan. Pharaoh's army ain't going to stop God's plan. Nuclear war ain't going to stop God's plan. Nothing can stop God's plan because God is Lord over everything and all things, especially over his children. So he's got a plan for us. He said, go forward. Lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst. Now look at this. Through the midst of the sea. See, God didn't remove the sea out of the way. He made a way in the sea. I mean, the same barrier still stood there. God just altered it a little bit. But he kept the water there. But he used what was a barrier for them to become their freedom. He took the same thing that was blocking their access and opened it up and gave them access. Don't you know God can do that in our lives today? We're surrounded by storms on every side. There's no way out. God says, "What? Just trust me. In the storm, I can make a way out. I can give you an outlet where there is no outlet. I can make a way where there is no way. I can cause something to be clear that now is blocked. Just trust me and go forward. Each step you take, God makes a way for that foot to land right where he wants to land. He might be at the last minute. He moves it, but he'll move it out of the way just for you. We go forward. Just keep going forward. Because we have to believe. Dare to believe, church. Indeed, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. So I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all of his army, his chariots, and his horsemen. Then the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I have gained honor for myself over Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen. And the angel of God who went before the camp of Israel moved and went behind them. I love this. And the pillar of cloud went from before them and stood behind them. God is giving them protection on the back end. God's got their back. We say that about people, right? I got your back. I got your back. You know, especially these, our young, you know, generation, you know. That's my homie, man. I got his back. I got your back. Yeah. I ain't seen you in 3 weeks, man. Where you been? You ain't got my back. You got my back till you get in trouble. And then I don't see you back because you're gone. Here's God giving them protection, a wedge between them and the army of Pharaoh so they cannot penetrate this barrier and get to the children of Israel. So it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. Thus it was a cloud and darkness to the one and gave light by the night to the other, so that the one did not come near the other all that night. God took one thing, made it a dual purpose. For one, it kept the enemy out. For another, it shined the light for the good side. He took it and used it for glory for his people and for protection from the bad people. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea into dry land, and the waters were divided. Now I know for a lot of intelligent New Age Christians, for those who are smarter than I, your humble servant, they say this is not a real story. It's allegoric, or it didn't really happen, or it's an example. Blah, 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 blah. Now, some people don't believe all these stories are real. I understand that. I do. And even the baby knows that's a real story. It's a real story. It truly happened. And there's even been archaeologists and scientists in the past that have proven an event of this magnitude did happen in this region. Can you imagine being an eyewitness? Imagine, we've all been to the beach. We know what the ocean looks like. If you've not been to the beach or the ocean, then get there quickly before you leave the earth. It's a beautiful place to go. Imagine standing there, and all of a sudden, you start seeing the wind pick up, and you start seeing a path of the ocean just parted. Just all night, the Bible says, the wind blew, whipping them waters. And all of a sudden, now it created a path. The thing that was keeping them from going forward, God's now giving them access to be able to go forward on dry ground. The water that was their enemy now became their rescue. I mean, that's how God works. You know, God can even cause your enemies to bless you if you believe that. I mean, God can use people in your life you never thought would ever be in your life and bring them into your life. That's why there's the old saying, don't burn no bridges, right? Don't burn no bridge. You never know how many times you got to cross the same bridge. the waters were divided. So the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea. Now they were in the middle of the sea, but they were on dry ground. And the waters were a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. Walls of water on both sides of them. God standing that water up at his command. God holding that water at full attention while those children of Israel crossed over. What a magnificent scene that must have been. Now you're talking about 2 million plus people. Now you want to know who had the biggest church ever in history? Probably Moses. Think about this. 2 million plus people. Men, women, children, livestock. This took a while. I mean, you got little kids. You got stubborn mules. You know, come on, donkey. You know how they don't want to go. Come on. Going across this dry ground. And they're marching across. Probably in awe what they're seeing. Is this even happening? Here's walls of water. We're in the middle of the Red Sea. And I know what my mama be thinking, because she's so strong in faith. My God, I hope this don't fall down. I'm going to drown. She'd be staring the whole time. Ooh, it's slipping. Ooh, it's slipping. Ooh, it's slipping. Or she'd be saying, there ain't no snakes in them walls. Oh, my gosh, there's snakes in that wall. That's one of two things she'd be thinking. I'm sure they're wondering, how long is this going to stay? What if God gets tired? What if he dozes off? What if he forgets we're here? Wouldn't that be bad? The whole time they're marching across this dry land, the waters are at God's attention, staying at bay. Next verse, Jeremy. So they went across. Now understand, not one of them died. The water stayed at attention the whole time every person crossed over. The Egyptians pursued and went after them in the midst of the sea, all of his horses, all of his chariots, all of his horsemen. So they're chasing them down the same path. Now it came to pass in the morning watch that the Lord looked down upon the army of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and cloud, and he troubled the army of the Egyptians. You don't want God's kind of trouble. And he took off their chariot wheels. This is kind of humorous, really. He took off their chariot wheels, so they drove them with difficulty. I mean, imagine they're going off like a cartoon. The wheels started falling off. I mean, the lug nuts wasn't tight enough or something, but something happened. God started removing their wheels. And the Egyptians said, let us flee to the face of Israel. I think I would too. I mean, your wheels are falling off. I mean, all of them are starting to, I mean, what happened? They all had the same mechanic. I mean, something happened. They all started falling off. Let's get out of here. For the Lord fights for them against the Egyptians. They had enough sense to realize we're dealing with something bigger than us and stronger than us. Let's get out of here. Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand over the sea, that the waters may come back upon the Egyptians and on their chariots and on their horsemen. So the water's been in tension all this time. Now they're chasing them across this long dry bed. Wheels are falling off. They're trying to flee, trying to retreat, trying to get out of there. And God said, now it's time. Because what I said earlier to you, Moses, or what God spoke through Moses, that these Egyptians you see, you'll see no more. I'm about to fulfill that right here. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and when the morning appeared, the sea returned to its full depth while the Egyptians were fleeing into it. So the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. The same sea that was a way of rescue to his people became the way of destruction to his enemies. They dared to believe. Moses dared to believe. God, behind us we're surrounded, and in front of us. What do I do? Just stand still. Let me fight for you. Watch what I'm going to show up and do. Imagine that, seeing that. Imagine, you know, I don't know how much knowledge Moses had of what was going to happen. Maybe it was just simple obedience where he heard God speak to him. Raise your hands, I'll do the rest. But what a magnificent story of victory for God's people. That just because you seem surrounded, because you seem trapped, because you think there's no way out, there's always a way out with God. Always. Because God brings us victory. God saves his children. God delivers us. God wants to help us, but we got to trust Him enough to let Him help us. You know what trust means? It means we have to let go of us and believe in someone else. And that's hard. True trust means I believe in someone else so much. I don't have to see it to believe it. I don't have to see them do anything to believe it. I just trust them. If we could trust God in our storm, it's easy to trust God when things are good. Man, it's easy to sing those songs. We like singing those songs of praise and everything's right. You know, everything's good. We're in good health and got a good job and we had a good day and, you know, we're on vacation. I mean, it's easy to be happy in those moments. Yes, I know. But it's in those moments of battle. It's in those moments you lift up your head and say, God, I can't take one more thing. You don't know what I've been through. God, I can't take one more thing. I'm fighting this at home. I'm fighting this at work. I'm fighting this in my body. I'm fighting this in my mind. I'm fighting this in my marriage. I'm fighting this with my children. God, you don't know what I'm going through. The grief that I carry, the sorrow that I carry, the fear that I carry, the discouragement that I carry, the confusion that I carry, God. But He does know. And that's when we say, Lord, you're my strength. Lord, you're my hope. Lord, you're my answer. And God, I'm going to stand still and be quiet and let you bring into my life what you have planned for me. I don't want to mess up the surprise. You know, people are nature different. I was always one that didn't want to ruin a surprise. I wasn't a sneaky kid that wanted to look and stuff, you know, go around and try to find out my birthday gift was. I wasn't like that. Because I respected my parents, and I wanted to be able to bless me with that. But I wanted to be surprised. Some folks are opposite. Some dig around, they don't want to be surprised. They want to see it. And I want to be surprised. God, surprise me. God, show up and surprise me. Because you can do anything. I mean, God could still, if He wanted to, part the waters. God can still do all the miracles we read about. God can still do any of those things. He's not lost any of His edge. He's not grown old and weary. He's not in a rocking chair with a cane. He's not said, oh, back in the old days, I was the God of this, but I'm taking it easy now. God's not changed. What has changed is our dependency upon the Lord. I've shared with you before, I talked to different people, evangelists, missionaries, who go to the country and see all these miracles happen. And they all had the same thing, they tell me. It's because they have so much faith that God can do it. See, where we're at and with all of our progress, it's almost, if I can just say it a matter of fact, it's almost taking the need out for God. We can just go and if we have a pain, I'll pop a pill. If I got a headache, I'll pop a powder. You know, if I'm stressed, I'll go get this. If I'm this, I'll go get that. You know, we have so much access to such easy things now to fix our problems that it's almost like we've taken that need out, that it's God or bust. It's like I said, a lot of times God's not our plan A anymore. God's way down the chart. We try this first, this first, this first. Other nations that don't have the prosperity America has, don't have the blessings America has, don't have access to things we have here, all they got is God. So they walk for miles to a revival service, blind or deaf or crippled, backs broken or full of arthritis or on their deathbed because they can't get medical help, they can't get medicine. So they hear about a man or woman of God coming through their country that's preaching Jesus. They're like, well, I heard He can heal. Let me see if He can. So they go with all expectation. And I'm telling you, this happens all over the world, church. They stand for hours during these services, hours. And the pouring rain outside sometimes. I mean, I can't get people to come to church inside if it rains. Pouring the rain, they'll stand out there to hear someone tell them that Jesus can save them and heal them. And eyes are opened. Ears are restored. I'm not talking about what I call charismatic stunt work. I'm talking about real healings, real deliverances, real eyes being opened, real cripples being raised to be able to walk because they dare to believe, God, you're all I got. You are all that I have. You're my only hope. Think about this. In America, if every doctor's office was shut down today, if there were no more doctors for us to ever go to, where would we be in our mental state? Doctors are wonderful. We need doctors. I'm just saying, what if they were gone all of a sudden? Where's our dependency been? Is it been on man or has it been on God? Has it been on men in our government to try to rescue us? And we put so much faith in what people can do that we fail to realize what God can do. God's much bigger, much stronger, much mightier. God can still heal the sick. He can still raise the dead. He can still open the blinded eyes. He can still put a coin in a fish's mouth. He can still provide for you. He can still save your child. He can do whatever he wants to do. Dare to believe that God is still Lord and King of all creation. He's my God, and I hope he's your God. And he can do anything and all things for anybody and everybody that will dare to believe in him and call upon his name. He's not changed. We've just been so fashioned after conveniences of the world that we have forgotten the desperation. There were people 100 years ago that would die from something like pneumonia. They would die. I mean, just die if they got pneumonia. If they got just stuff that we get now that's common, that's very treatable, they would die from it by the thousands because there was no treatment. Or they couldn't get to treatment, or it wasn't invented yet. But we have a God that in the middle of our sickness, we can still call upon him and say, healer, pass my way. And that breath of God can blow on us today like it always has and give us what we need. Give us what we need. We had a guy healed at our New Year's service about 2 years ago. He was here. Dean prayed for him. The service was going on. We came to the altar for praise and worship to bring in the new year. And he testified. And it wasn't like a blind being healed or anything, so don't get too excited. But it was a healing. He walked in, he said, and could not turn his neck. It had been stiff for days. He could not move it. Something happened. He could not turn his neck. End of that service, he raised his hand and said, I was standing up there during bringing the new year and said, God, heal me. And he began to spin his neck completely and turn it. It says, God, heal me. And I've been able to turn it in a long time, and God healed me. See, God still moves, and God can still give us what we need. We just got to believe. We got to dare to believe God's who he says that he is. If I believe that God is going to take me to heaven one day, that I'm going to be in his kingdom, I mean, really think about some of the songs that we sing, especially the old songs. Go walk on streets of gold and jasper streets. Want to have me a big old mansion in the sky. If we believe that's waiting on us, and we don't believe God can move our mountain here, think about that. If we can believe in the pie in the sky, so to speak, stuff, but don't believe God here on the earth is able to move the enemy out of our way. Yeah, he can. We got to keep going forward. Doesn't matter if we see a stop ahead sign. If God says go forward, we keep moving. God will move that stop ahead sign, and God will make a way. We see a giant in front of us, we keep going forward. Dare to believe. A couple more verses I want to finish up with. The waters returned, covered the chariots, the horsemen, all the army of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them, not so much as one of them remained. One thing about God, he does it right. God's 100% God. If God took a math test, he'd get 100 every time. English exam, 100 every time. No offense, he'd be smarter than Mary. God would always get it right. When God healed someone, I love what the Bible says in the Gospels, whenever people would get healed. If you notice what he always says, it says, you have been made whole. You have been made whole. That meant complete work was done. Not only the healing that they prayed for get done, but anything else that was wrong also got corrected. They were made whole. Everything completely made right. There wasn't no could be about it. When he went in to raise the daughter up that was dead, and Jesus said, she's not dead, she's just sleeping. They made fun of him. He went in there and breathed in that girl, laid his hand, raised her. She came right back to life, full life of the little young girl. It wasn't half life. It wasn't a few breaths here and there. It wasn't oxygen level raised 10 points. She popped up alive. When God does it, he does it right. He didn't leave one person, one enemy alive. All of them were destroyed. But the children of Israel had walked on dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. So the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Thus Israel saw the great work which the Lord had done in Egypt. So the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. They believed. They saw what God had done. How many times have you seen God move in your life? You know it was God that did it. God opened a door. God closed a door. God healed you. God restored you. God restored a marriage. God saved a rebellious child. Something you know that God's hand was in. You've seen him at work. Believe. Reflect back at those moments and believe. God, you did it then. You can still do it now. I'm going to start believing again that you can do anything in my life. Faith is a very powerful thing. And we can't let people water down our faith and us accept things because you'll have people that will try to get you to accept things. You know, Joe Brown had a wonderful healing several years ago when we still at the fire department. And he was actually telling somebody about that recently. But Joe Brown's hands, when he started coming to our church back in 2000, whatever that was, 2002, he had such, I guess it was arthritis, is that what it was? Yeah, that. His hands were so curled up. They were stuck like this. He would shake your hand like a nub. And he began to pray for his hands in that fire department and said, God, you can heal me. And he come one Sunday morning. I used to stand outside that fire department door shaking hands. And he come in. He said, Pastor, look at one of my hands. Look, God brought him out that far. Look at that. A few weeks later, look, Pastor, look at that hand. Before you know it, God healed both hands, unraveled his fingers, and restored that. That was a miracle, church. God restored that. God is still God. Joe Brown dared to believe God. God, you can do it. Because you're God. There's no limits on God. We put limits on God. God don't, you know, we need to take the training wheels off of God. You don't need them. We ride God like a training wheel bike. Well, I trust you, God, a certain way. Lord, I trust you as long as somebody's holding me. I trust you as long as I can see where I'm going. I trust as long as it's not raining or snowing or the wind's blowing hard. I trust you. Take the training wheels off God. Let him be God in your life. Dare to believe. Hallelujah. Hope that encouraged you tonight. That encouraged me. That encouraged you, Grandma.